how many people use our upstairs bathroom in Liverpool. But I must say that it really, you know, it really astonished me how twisted a person's mind can be. Such a thought never even crossed my mind, never dreamed of. And after all, when you put it in a bathroom, it is not exactly put upstairs there for public consumption. It was to remind me every day as I washed my face that I would today hear his voice and continue to this day to follow him. The Lord Jesus was not afraid to be misunderstood. I say to you that what you do out of the purest motive, people will twist and distort and bring an attack against you. Don't let it worry you. Don't let it discourage you. Dear Brother Xiang, Han Xing in New York is so upset, basically because he preached the message and his message was twisted around against him. And so as I was leaving him, I phoned him one more time in New York and said, Brother, don't be discouraged. Do what is right before the Lord. No matter how people take it, you just follow the Lord. Doesn't matter. So the Lord Jesus, in accepting this baptism, left himself open to misinterpretation. Aha, so you accept John's baptism. So you confess that you are a sinner, do you? No, he didn't confess that he was a sinner, but he accepted John's baptism. He humbled himself to accept the ministry of an inferior. Even John the Baptist recognized his greatness, but Jesus pleaded. Think of it. Think of it again and again. Pleaded to be accepted under his ministry for baptism. There was this great crowd of sinners repenting of their sins, and the Son of God comes, standing amidst the sinners to be baptized. I tried to ask you, get the picture of this clearly into your mind. How many would say, oh, you shouldn't do that. You'd be misunderstood. That's all right, Jesus said. I will accept this baptism because I want to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was concerned with righteousness. Have you got this attitude, this heart of submission? If not, I say to you, don't be in the Lord's work, because there is no future for you in the Lord's work, whatever. Jesus would never have been used by God to become the Savior of the world if he had not come into his ministry with this attitude of total submission to God and to his servant, who was inferior to himself. But nonetheless, John the Baptist was a servant of God. Let us learn this attitude of submission if we are going to serve God and to experience the fullness and power of the Christian life. I smile when I think back some over 2 years ago when I was in England. I was invited to preach at a meeting of charismatics. Now, you know what charismatics are, I trust. People who believe in speaking in tongues and all the signs of the Spirit. Now, I was asked to preach at a meeting of charismatics, which I accepted, and I ministered the Word of God there. And the Word of God was very graciously received. And I was received also with great hospitality. And one of the brothers in the meeting invited me to stay in his home when he discovered that that night I had nowhere to stay in London. He said, come and stay in my home. And I smiled because after he had taken the trouble to drive me that long distance to his home, this loving brother said to me, he said, you know, I would like to minister to you in some way. And I said, I would be very happy if you could minister to me in some way. And he said, I would like to pray for you with the laying on of hands. At that suggestion, my other friend was very angry. And I smile when I recall his anger. My other friend, both of them were doctors, in fact, and both of them very committed, dedicated to the Lord's work. My other friend rebuked this friend and saying, how dare you suggest that you will pray for him with the laying on of hands? He says, the suggestion is rather like Timothy saying to Paul, I would like to pray for you with the laying on of hands. He said, this is unthinkable. This is too arrogant. Well, I don't know why this dear brother had such a high regard for me and made the comparison of Paul and Timothy. For it seemed to me that it was not necessarily the case that it was that I was Paul and this brother was Timothy. Maybe it was the other way around. But at least this, whatever the case, this brother suggested that it was too arrogant for this dear brother to suggest he would pray for me with the laying on of hands. And I intervened and I said, please pray for me with the laying on of hands. I'd be so happy if you could do so. And so this brother did do this very thing. And to me, it was a great blessing that someone was willing to serve in this way, to serve the Lord in this way. And I was happy to submit to his laying on of hands. It was truly wonderful. And so, we must learn this attitude of willingness to submit. Not the attitude to say, well, I'm a pastor and I'm a servant of God. You may love the Lord, but you're not a pastor. You're not a servant of God in any full-time sense. How do you think that you will lay your hands on me and pray for me? Maybe someone might feel offended in this way. But God forbid that we should think like this. For if the Spirit of the Lord moved him to suggest that he would pray for me with the laying on of hands, I would happily submit to that. Let us learn this attitude of submission, not to think, I am greater than you. How dare we think so? Now, the Lord Jesus might dare to think so, but we may not dare to think so. Let us ever pray and always treat the other as better than ourselves. This attitude of submission. Notice the Lord Jesus' humility that deeply impresses me as he came to the Baptist. Notice he came voluntarily to the Baptist and asked to receive his baptism. Oh, that is truly wonderful. The more I think about it, the more I ponder it. The Son of God receiving baptism at the hands of a sinful man. And you know, John the Baptist was a great servant of God, but he had very serious faults, if I may be allowed to mention that. Because the Bible mentions that. In Matthew chapter 11, we notice that John completely faded in his spiritual courage. It's disappointing to see, but nonetheless true. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 6, you will read how, as John the Baptist sat in prison, somehow he wavered. And he sent a messenger to the Lord Jesus saying, are you he who is to come, or do we look for somebody else? Alas, the great servant of God, John the Baptist, at the critical moment, he wavered. He hesitated. He took offense in Jesus. So that the Lord Jesus had to say in verse 6, blessed is he who is not offended in me. You see, John the Baptist was languishing in prison. Maybe he had hoped that the Lord Jesus would open the prison gates and set him free. Why didn't the Lord Jesus do something to rescue the Baptist? The Lord Jesus didn't move, and John the Baptist was offended. Don't you see me sitting here in jail with my life at stake? You see, even this great servant of God had his weaknesses and his failings. But notice that the Lord Jesus' estimate of John the Baptist did not change. He still held him in esteem, even though he wavered, which we'll see in Matthew 21. He still spoke of John as that servant, that mighty and great servant of God. He does not estimate us according to our weaknesses and our failings. We may change towards him, he doesn't change towards us. Isn't that beautiful? So he comes to John the Baptist, not because John the Baptist is such a wonderful guy who has no failings. We notice, and the Bible tells us frankly, that John the Baptist, great as he was, wavered and somewhat failed towards the end. Not that he failed completely, but he did hesitate. But still, the Lord Jesus came to this man of God and submitted to his ministry. And I mention this just to remind you that the Lord Jesus submitted to John the Baptist's ministry, not because John the Baptist was an incomparably wonderful person with no faults and failings, not at all, but because he was a servant of God. And because God's ordinance at this time was being fulfilled through John the Baptist's baptism. These things are deep and mighty for us to understand. So, what about the misunderstanding then? When we walk with God, trust Him to sort out all the misunderstandings. Trust Him to work it out. And that is precisely what God does. Notice what happens. When the Lord Jesus is baptized and He comes out of the water, a voice from heaven speaks. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Some people thought it's thundering. I heard a voice. God speaks. God puts His seal upon Him. Why? Precisely because He submitted so completely as a servant to the servant. And so I could go on expounding this passage in its richness and its depth. But let us recall just one more thing. The Lord Jesus never taught anything. He never asked anybody else to do something that He Himself did not do. Bear this carefully in mind. When Jesus called others to repentance, He Himself had submitted to a baptism of repentance. Repentance means a total change of mind. Now, the Lord Jesus does not need to change His mind totally in regard to sin, but He did make a change at this point. From this point on, He gave up his secular job as a carpenter. He left His home and He made a very fundamental change. He went forth to preach the gospel. The time had come. But He need not have bothered to do this unless this spirit of submission had been in His life. So our time is gone, and I'd like to conclude on this very note. This is the keynote which marks the whole of the Lord's teaching, which marks the whole of the Lord's ministry. And He preached it not so much merely in words as by His life, in submitting Himself to a servant of God far inferior to Himself, but He submitted all the same. In order to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness was the central concern. What is the definition of righteousness? Well, I hope you know now what is the definition. How do you fulfill all righteousness? Only through total submission to God and to all His ordinances, to His church, to His people, to His servants. Now, that is something to learn, because our whole nature rebels against it. We want to stand up for ourselves. We want to be it. We want to be number one. In fact, number one is the name for you in many terms. Think of number one means think of yourself today in today's language. The natural man thinks of himself as number one. Jesus submitted Himself to every institution and ordinance of God. It has been noticed, for example, that though Jesus was without sin, He nonetheless partook of the Passover sacrifice. Isn't it remarkable? That although He Himself was the Redeemer, yet Mary offered the prescribed offerings for sin, the redemption of the firstborn. He fulfilled every ordinance of God. You see, if you submit to a baptism of repentance, even though you have no sin, the submission to baptism does not somehow import sin into your life, does it? Of course not. But what it does show is your obedience to the will of God. Let us learn this secret. It sounds simple. Practice it in your life, and then you will experience a new joy, a new power, a new fellowship with God. Over these past weeks, I've enjoyed such sweet fellowship with God in a deeper way. And I think that perhaps many times people ask, what is the secret that you think always that God is so real to you, that God is so alive to you? I have no secret but what I have learned from the Lord Jesus. To learn in all things, always to submit to every ordinance of God. Every day to yield my life afresh and more totally and fully to Him. That secret is so simple. Hard to practice, maybe, but so simple that you will find that if you do this, there will be power in your life. There will be joy of fellowship with God. God will become real to you. Some also ask the question about prayer. How does God answer prayer? Why does he answer some, not all? Well, there are many answers, but one of these answers lies precisely here. Can you say when you pray that you live a life of true submission to God? Try living in submission, and God answers your prayers beyond even what you can ask or think, beyond all your expectations. He overwhelms you with his kindness as you live in submission to him. The word of God can be tested, proven, whether it's true or false. I do not preach a gospel which is theoretical. I preach a gospel which is testable. It can be put to the test. God is real, because if you follow in his way, you will see that he is true. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.